ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनम् देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुम्। वर्स् नंबर 17, लेट अस चैंट टुगेदर। यो न हृष्यति न द्वेष्टि न शोचति न कांक्षति शुभाशुभ परित्यागी भक्तिमान यः स मे प्रियः। He who neither rejoices nor hates, nor grieves nor desires, renouncing good and evil, full of devotion, he is dear to me. Further, Bhagavan Krishna is enumerating the qualities a devotee must develop. So here he says, Hrishyati, Dveshti, Shochati, Kangshati, Shubha, Ashubha, Parityagi. Yona Hrishyati, he who doesn't rejoice. Nadveshti, he who doesn't hate. Why these two? Because if someone rejoices, then its opposite must come. Mm. If there is no opposite, will a person rejoice? So if a person doesn't hate, he can't also rejoice. And if a person doesn't rejoice, he cannot also hate, because these two go together. Then will such a person be like a stone? He will not be a stone. What does that mean, first of all? Any worldly reaction he will avoid. Hrishyati and Dveshti applies to whom? Only to worldly object, any worldly object. But if something is related to God, then what happens? You come for puja. Will you rejoice or not? Yes, you have a right to rejoice. So, if something obstructs puja, devotion, then will you hate such a thing or not? Dislike such a thing or not?
Yes.
Yes, you can do it. Then what is the specification here?
Where is the laksha?
What is the specification?
Only
that only things. These things apply to worldly pleasures, worldly unhappiness. Because every worldly object creates both. Yeah. Nobody can say psychologically, I rejoice but I don't hate. I have got only friends, I don't have enemies. It is a wrong statement. If there is a friend, how do you distinguish this is a friend? You have an idea of friendship. Therefore, you are. How do you have an idea of friendship? Unless you have an idea that you hate somebody. Do you follow what I am talking about? Suppose you say, I know what is light, I don't know what is darkness. I know what is a human, what is a male, I don't know what is a female. Is it possible? Because this very understanding, this is light, is preceded by what?
Absence of light.
So, what happens? What is the important point? The mind should be steadfastly fixed on God. And what is it that disturbs this steadfastness? This rejoicing, going up and down. Simply take it in this way. Something makes you go up, something makes you also come down, not only come down, go down. So that should be assiduously avoided. And nashochati, a devotee should never grieve for anything. Why? Because he relies upon God. First, he relies upon God. Secondly, does a devotee enjoy his life or not?
Yes.
Who is a devotee? He who always thinks about God. So when a person is thinking about God, is he happy or unhappy?
Absolutely happy.
When a person is thinking about happiness, he is happy or not?
Happy.
another name for
God is
happiness. Happiness. So such a person do not grieve, excepting only one time he, once for one thing he will grieve. If he is separated from the thought of God, then he grieves. But at the same time, earlier we said that he also has karuna, compassion. So if something, some suffering comes to other people, there is likelihood he will grieve, not for himself, but for other people. And na kaamshati, he doesn't desire anything. Interesting thing, he doesn't desire anything for two reasons. The first reason is, he knows every worldly object is very limited. Second, he always desires only one thing.
God.
Only God. Therefore, once a person desires God, there is no place for anything else. It is like this, you know. Imagine that a person says, I only desire $1 billion. Do you want $1? No, I don't desire $1. Do you desire $10? No. $100? No. $1,000? No. $100,000? No. How much? $1 million. So why doesn't he desire? Because his desire is the highest. Whatever is highest already includes everything that is lowest. So he doesn't desire. And what is the meaning of desire? What is the purpose of desire? If you say, I desire such thing, that means what? You are not happy and you will become... Here he will be more than happy. What we call overflowing happiness. A little bit of that description we get in the gospel. Sri Ramakrishna's face could not contain the joy that he was going through, as though it is overflowing. That was the M's description.
Maharaj, isn't it also true that devotee knows that whatever he needs, God will provide, so he doesn't really have to ask for anything?
Actually, that is our intellectual way of putting it. Okay. You take the example. Who is a devotee? He who feels, I am a child and God is my mother.
Huh.
Now, look at any child. Does any child consciously think, I don't have to worry, my mother is looking after me? Does he think? Are we thinking about that child? When you were a child, have you ever thought, what should I think?
We never thought.
You never thought. You will never think, because that automatic, complete self-reliance is there. That is the characteristic of every child. Every child. Once I was watching David Attenborough's wild documentary. You know, the mother lioness was sleeping. And the kids, you know, they go and pull her tail and go and lick her face. It just opens and the male doesn't tolerate that. The mother absolutely like that. So they went down. There was a rock. Mother was there. And these fellows went down. There was a ferocious snake. And they wanted to, they did not know, you know, first time. As soon as it was moving, they wanted to come. Then it raised its foot and like that. The moment, they got frightened. And they just cried, Ma, you know, in their language. Somehow, the mother knows what is playful sound, what is frightening sound. It was, the mother was dozing. Instantaneously, it just jumped down and caught hold of this snake, kacha, 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 like that, you know. It bit its head off and then kicked out, went back and slowly. It doesn't think. This is a good lesson. Oh my God, I went in time. Otherwise, what would have happened to my children? No, nothing of that regret at all, as though nothing happened. What is the point here? No child consciously ever thinks that, should I worry or not? No, I don't need to worry. My mom is there to look after me.
No.
It doesn't think.
No.
But a time will come, then it will start thinking. But that is the state, Sri Ramakrishna tells, that is the state of every devotee who has advanced to that state. total reliance means he doesn't consciously think, I have to pray to God and I have to do this, that. Sri Ramakrishna also tells this very beautifully. You know, on Kalpataru day, have you noticed? Sri Ramakrishna didn't touch even a single one of his would-be monastic disciples.
Yes.
He did not touch. Now what happened, that some of these household disciples, they went, Sharat Maharaj and others, he was giving graphic description, because Thakur came down, they were airing his bed, etc., and doing all those things. So these people like madcaps, oh, wherever you are, come, Sri Ramakrishna has become a Kalpataru, he is blessing you, oh Sharat, oh Rakhal. They heard, but they didn't come. Why did they not come?
They knew Thakur already taken, given everything.
And specifically, Pratap Chandra Hajra was teaching them what to ask of Sri Ramakrishna. One day Sri Ramakrishna got annoyed and said, they will never ask, they don't need to ask, because they know whatever I have belongs to them. Like a father's property belonging to the children. So this is very important. Na kaṅkṣati, he doesn't
desire.
If at all he desires, only one desire. Oh Lord, give me ahaituki bhakti. Or if there is another desire, God says, I am so pleased with you, ask another desire. Then he will say, let me never be bewitched by your world bewitching maya. This is the only one. That is, one covers everything. Then we will proceed. Any questions about this? Okay. You don't desire to put any questions about it. Okay. समः शत्रौ च मित्रे च तथा मानापमानयोः शीतोष्णसुखदुःखेषु समः सङ्गविवर्जितः तुल्यनिन्दास्तुतिर्मौनी सन्तुष्टो येन केनचित् अनिकेतः स्थिरमतिः भक्तिमान् मे प्रियो नरः समः Shatru cha mitre cha. What happens? Shatru means enemy. Mitra means
friend.
Now, both these people have an impact upon our mind. Is it not?
Yes.
When somebody whom you consider as a close friend comes to you, what happens to your mind?
Happy.
You feel happiness, pleasure. And when so-called friend comes, who is really, you think you know that it's your Shatru. Because most of the Shatrus don't come as Shatrus. They come as Mitras. Because the beauty is this. The moment a Shatru comes as a Shatru, you are already careful. You will not get hurt. You will just be careful. But if when you trust somebody and that somebody in some way hurts you, then you are hurt more. Why? Because you are expecting something else. So that is why these ferocious fellows, prahasan api bhayankaraha, they said when Rakshasa smile, it is even more than worse than frightening. So, sama shatrauchi mitresha. Both, they agitate our mind. Agitation of mind means we cannot focus it on God, at least for some time. So, what should be our attitude? Who is a shatru and who is our mitra? Should we not shatrus? Yes, devotees also will have shatrus. Devotees also will have Mitras. Who is the friend of a devotee? Anyone who helps us and who prays for us, who is our well-wisher, means anyone who genuinely feels we must develop in our devotion. He is our true friend. And anybody who is the opposite, he is the worst friend. Our worst enemies, most of the time, is our friends. Because somehow they happen to come at the time when you want to think about God. Yes. Either they thought or whatever it is. So this is a tragic situation. What should be a devotee's attitude? The mind will be the same. There is no friend, there is no enemy, excepting those who try to disturb us in our devotion. Otherwise, whatever happens, a person's mind will be calm. How can it be calm in the face of enemies? Who is telling this one? Bhagavan Krishna. To whom?
Arjuna.
When?
All of us.
When?
Oh, in the battlefield.
In the battlefield. So, if you think Duryodhana is your enemy, you are totally wrong. If you think I am your friend, that is also not a good idea, really speaking. What does that mean? If Bhagavan Krishna is my friend and you think he is my friend only, Bhagavan Krishna, how does he look upon Duryodhana, Durshasana? If you go a little bit deep, you will be real astonished. Do you think if Krishna wanted peace, do you think he would not be able to bring it on?
Of course.
He is God. Mm-hmm. He could do anything he wants.
Mm-hmm.
But it was not his intention.
No.
Because he had to do this adharma samhara.
Mm-hmm.
That is why Gandhari, you know what happened? First Krishna, as soon as all these Duryodhana, Dushyasana, everybody was finished. This Yudhishthira sends Krishna because he knows if Gandhari opens her eyes and looks at us, we will be turned to ashes. She had that power. So Krishna goes, she gets angry and he pacifies her. So her anger is contained. Then these people slowly approach. But when she went into the battlefield to see the dead bodies, her anger flares. Then she could not contain. Then she curses Krishna. Krishna was there. So all that upadesham has gone down the drain. Because when you are seeing something, when you are away from the event, you take it in one way. When you are seeing 100 of her sons, then she curses Krishna. What did she curse? Just as you did, then she says something. Krishna, if you wanted to save them, you could have, I know who you are. I know what your power is. But you did not deliberately do it. So, I curse you. Let the whole Vrishni Vamsa be destroyed. No one should be. And what was Krishna's reaction? He started dancing. No, that was not there in Mahabharata. I am adding that. That's why it is called Mahabharata. Anybody can add. The next generation, it's Mahabharata it will become if you go on adding. It started with 2,000 verses and ended with more than 100,000 verses. Story within story. Now what is the point we are discussing?
That what was the action of Krishna?
It was all his plan.
Yeah.
How did he plan? As God? No. As what? Kala. Time. And has Krishna killed us or not?
Yes, absolutely.
Did Kala kill us or not?
Yes.
If you go a little bit further, you know what is it? Krishna had killed people who are not even born. Is it? 2050, somebody will be born.
Mm.
And 2100, that fellow is?
Dead.
Mm. You see, Kala, birth means what?
Death.
You don't need to think both. Anything that comes into manifestation goes out of
manifestation.
That is an important teaching Bhagavan Krishna gives. Avyakta adini bhutani vyakta madhyani bharata avyakta nidhananyeva tatra ka paridevana. Arjuna, you should not grieve because every creature goes through three states. First, it was unmanifest. then it becomes manifest, and again
unmanifest.
Yeah, you know this chair. Just imagine, 100 years back, was this chair there?
No.
What was
tree.
There?
Tree.
Wood. Wood or tree? Wood. Okay. Was the chair there or not?
Yes. Yes.
It was there. In what form?
Unmanifest
form. So, when something unmanifested becomes manifested, that is called janma, birth. And when what is manifested becomes, goes back into unmanifested again, that is called
death.
Not only that, every millisecond it is dying and it is getting reborn.
Yes.
Can you imagine? See, when you are like that, like that, like that. When you are like that, let us say that is your birth. When you are like that, so when you are like that, that is dead. When you are like that, this one is dead, this one is reborn. And when you are like that, that was dead and this was reborn. Do you see that?
Yes.
This is what Shankara calls invisible death. Two types of death. Visible death. Visible death means what? When a person really dies, or even anything. When a person really dies, we send him to crematorium or burial or whatever it is. That is what we call death. But we are not able to see that every millisecond the old thing is going and new thing is coming. And Shankara says that is the thing which will make us spiritual. The actual death, what that happens is that we take it for granted. Take it for granted. That is why we don't grieve so much. Only thing is when we don't expect something and if it happens, we grieve. For example, an old man, 99 years old, dies. How much will you grieve? Not much. Sometimes you grieve terribly. I was expecting him to pass away. 20 years back, this fellow had, you know, jaliya pudi. Am I joking?
No.
You know, this is what people think. Sometimes our own people, it could be our mother, it could be our father, it could be our near relative. There is a human limit, how much we can tolerate. As a romantic people, we think, no, I never want my mother or father to die. Until how much time? Actually, that person becomes a burden, a liability. Then our patience snaps. We don't dare openly say that. You know what we say? Hypocrites. I pray to God, he is suffering too much. Let God out of his mercy take him away. I feel very spiritual. But subconsciously, what is the matter? He is barring, he or she is barring my day-to-day happiness. What human beings are there? Only people, very few people are there. They are really devoted and they are prepared to suffer, but they are very few people. Our devotion is a limited devotion and that can tolerate only that much. Okay, what is the point here? We are talking about samah shatru cha mitra cha. That is the topic we have taken. The mind should be kept peaceful, serene, but a little bit variation is accepted. You know, a little bit and for a short time. When a devotee reacts, these two characteristics are there. His reaction is not that intense. Second, his reaction lasts for very, very short time. That is the difference. Shatrucha mitrecha tatha mana apamana yoho. So this is also related there. Mana means what? Honor. Apamana means what? Dishonor. Peculiar. There are intensities, there are degrees of honor and dishonor. Oh, somebody fetches you, takes you to the stage, garlands you, and Flash and Facebook and Twitter and all those things. So this is, we feel very happy that day. That's one way. The other way is, oh, I have not been given a good seat. When I entered, the hostess or host did not smile at me. And when I sing a song, nobody clapped. But when the earlier singer sang, the clapping was much longer, much louder. How our mind really reacts, you know. All these factors can affect us and do affect us. So, honor and dishonor also two types. Really somebody honors or dishonors. Second is, we interpret it in that particular manner. Whatever it is, these are obstructions for devotion, spiritual. That is the absolute truth. Another factor, you know, we have to know is, if we are expecting honor, then only we feel the dishonor. If we don't expect, we don't feel it that much. Similarly, Sita and Ushna and Sukha and Dukha. Sita means cold. Ushna means
hot.
So cold and heat. These are physical factors. Cold and heat are physical factors. It is under nobody's control. You know, a storm comes, tornado comes. Under whose control is it? And it is, even today, science has no means of predicting it, this storm Irma. For example, just Nirupama. So she did not reach. She is stuck on the way.
Really?
Yes, that's what somebody told. Charlotte. Nitya told me.
She is staying in Charlotte. He's staying at a friend's place, right?
Oh.
Yeah. Now, point is, she was thinking it would strike somewhere about Saturday, Sunday. So by that time she could go and then do the necessary things, shuttering, etc. And then go. Now she is stuck. What is the point? These are not under our control. So we have to accept. What can be done? Sometimes damage may be there. So Sita and Ushna are external events, physical events, not our under control. Not completely true. If it is cold, you can put on some warm clothing. And there are people who could. There are also people who cannot. Similarly, if it is very hot, you can also open the windows, fan a little bit, something you can do. But everybody is limited by his or her karma phala. This is the fact. Sukha and Dukha. Now, Sita and Ushna belong to which level?
Physical.
External level. Sukha and Dukha don't belong to?
Mental level.
It is pure mental. What do you mean by mental level?
Mind feels.
No.
Emotion.
Emotional level. That's important. How? This is what we have already discussed in one of our previous classes. So supposing there is an event, it is very cold. How do you know it is very cold? No. The corresponding thought would be there in the mind. If there is no thought, suppose they give you anesthesia, will you know whether it is cold or hot? You will not know. Only when you are aware. That awareness is called a thought. But the physical event and the thought, there is no harm there. It is just report of what it is. Thereafter, instantaneously, emotional reaction comes. Oh, it is very wonderful, it is not wonderful, it is too much, it is too less, etc. That is called emotional reaction. It is this emotional reaction we are asked to control. Sita Ushna you cannot really control. It is karmic result. But Sukha Dukha we can control. And we must control. Why? Because this Tom, Dick and Harry, they disturb our peace of mind. That doesn't show any devotion. That is what Swami Vivekananda says. A fellow reads this Bhagavad Gita, Sitoshna Sukadeshu, Tukesh, Tadha Mana Pavaneho, I will not be saved. So he is happily going out for a walk and somebody says, you stupid fellow. Out goes all this Bhagavad Gita teaching. Because that is how we have been reacting in the past. Now we have to retrain our mind and say, okay, he said, it is just a word, what does it matter? A beautiful expression by Swami Swahanandaji. When he came to London, he gave this expression. One man was walking on the street. Suddenly another man from one house, he came out, saw this fellow and started abusing him right and left. So this fellow was getting very angry by the second. And he was thinking also, should I go and give him? Then another person from a neighboring family came and he said, don't get disturbed. He is a mad care and he is a Samadarshi. Everybody will get it. Anybody who was, there are some dogs. Anybody, Samadarshis, anybody passing in front of them, they will bark. But at the same time, their tail is also in between. Because the moment you start walking, they will start barking and go backing up. That is their nature. Some dogs are very ferocious. If they catch you, they might finish you also. Now what is the point here? This person came out and told that person who was, he is a madcap. The moment he heard it, not only his anger had disappeared, melted away, he started feeling intense sympathy. Aha, a human being like me, and he is suffering from this madness. And he might even pray that let this God help him get rid of this madness. Now, what is the point here? The abusing is same, and his hearing is also the same. But in the first instance, the reaction is terrible. But in the second instance, not only the reaction is not negative, it is positively very positive. That is the attitude every bhakta may have. Sri Ramakrishna's life also, you will get that this thing. Interesting. I'll cite two examples. One day, Pratap Chandra Hajira had disturbed him. He simply told Sri Ramakrishna, these are all your delusions. This is not your realization. Then Sri Ramakrishna was in a child mood. Don't say childish mood. Childlike mood. Because our English, it is like that. So he goes to, where does he go? Mother. To the temple. Mother, Hajira says like this, did you deceive me? Then mother told, why do you listen to that boy? He doesn't know. The moment he heard he doesn't know, then first of all he said, that fellow, rascal, had disturbed me. Next, intense sympathy. What can this fellow do? After all, Divine Mother has not given him that understanding. What a wonderful thing, The same thing we can apply and say, Divine Mother has made some people inimical, so what can we do about it? So this is one instance. Other instance, you understand, when Sri Ramakrishna was practicing spiritual disciplines at Dakshineshwar, the news reached that Sri Ramakrishna had gone mad. And whenever Holy Mother used to go to fetch water, all the women, they become ferocious chickens. This is what I call chicken reaction. You know what is chicken reaction?
No.
Suppose there is poultry. Huh. And one chicken gives eggs, lay eggs. But sometimes one chicken's egg is too big. So there is a damage to the anus, like that, from where it comes out. No, blood comes out. the moment chicken see the blood, you know that they say bull sees red, what is that, cloth or whatever.
Red cloth.
These fellows go mad. They run after that chicken and go on pecking with their beaks, you know, very strong. And many times that if we don't see, that will keep what agony it starts, tries to run here, there, but all surround it and do it. Most people are like, most of the people are like that. So they used to torment Holy Mother so that she would not go when other people were there. Then she decided, as you know, if my husband is really mad, it's my duty to serve him. Of course, if he is not mad, she doesn't know what to believe, because the way he behaved whenever they met together was beyond description. No ordinary husband will behave like that. With so much of love, you can feel that love. So she decided, you know the story that happens, she goes, she only goes to her father and says, and then goes. And then, but she was at trepidation, and she had divine vision. Mother Kali on the way, and then she says, how is he? She remember the story? Holy Mother was, Holy Mother goes to her father and says, Father, there is Ganges bath is to be taken on an auspicious day. Many people are going, shall be also. But intelligent man, he understood that was not the real reason. She wants to go to Sri Ramakrishna. So he agreed. On the way, she fell ill. Fever came. So somewhere she kept, he was practically delirious. At that time, a lady came, sat down and started passing her hand over Holy Mother's. Then, like a delirious state, he was asking, where from are you coming? Who are you? I'm your sister. Very wonderful word.
Yes.
And where from are you coming? I'm coming from Dakshineshwar. Immediately, how was she expected to know about, how is he? Who is he? She didn't say Ramakrishna. Obviously, she meant Thakur. But how does she know he means who? Then that lady replies, yes, I am coming. He is already. But most wonderful reply. What was the reply? I kept him for you. That is a significant answer. Just like when Totapuri came, Thakur runs to Divine Mother and Mother, this man comes, he says he will give me sannyasa. What was the mother's reply?
I brought him for you.
You see, I brought him for that purpose only. Totapuri did not know. Now what was Mother Kali telling to Holy Mother? I kept him for your sake. Then Mother was very happy. And then she did not understand the implications of it. By next morning, the fever had gone down, but still a little bit was there. It was not a safe place. So somehow, they reach Dakshineshwar. The moment Sri Ramakrishna saw, immediately he was all concern, all love. Go, you have come. If only my Sejo Babu is alive, means Madhur Babu, then he would have made all arrangements. Anyway, Thakur arranged a mat in his own room and asked, even though she could go to Nahabad, no, it will be difficult, you take rest here. Arranged for something, moody, etc., for her to eat. But she was still, she was tired, she was feverish, she was weak. And then something peculiar happened. He started pressing, massaging her feet, body. She protested, it is not for you to massage, it is for me to serve you. Then he said, no, we are married. If I am sick, you will serve me. If you are sick, I will serve you. Very democratic. Ramakrishna was in his dealings with Holy Mother. No question of, I am superior, you are inferior. That is something we have to learn. Okay, so coming back to our subject. Samah Shatruhu Cha Mitre Tatha Mana upamanayo. Sitoshna sukha dukhesh. Sometimes we are happy, sometimes we are not happy. These things are normal day-to-day unavoidable experiences. So let us keep our mind equanimous. Samatva. This is called samatva. Samatva means not like a stone. A little bit waves, small waves permitted. Be a little happy. Be a little unhappy also. But do not go like tsunami. Yeah, that is for us, you know, every bad event is a tsunami. That is how we behave. Samaha Sangha Vivarjitaha. We already discussed this Sangha Vivarjitaha earlier also. So we should not have too much of attachment towards anything. Attachment means what? Losing self-control. That is what it means. Tulya Ninda Stutir Stutihi. Ninda Stutihi. Some people praise you, some people condemn you. So we have to be emotionally not so much react. Mauni. What is the meaning of mauna?
Forbearance.
Hmm?
Silence. Mauna
means
not to speak.
No. What is not to speak?
Then
no, you know, mananat munihi. To say a person who is constantly remembering God or Mahavakya, he is called a muni, mauni. Muni means mauni. Mauni means who does manana. Manana means constantly remembering either God or a holy mantra or Mahavakya, etc. Otherwise, I don't speak. Sri Ramakrishna makes fun. A fellow is observing mauna, but wants to buy fish, vegetables. He goes to the market. That is 2 rupees amma. The other shop only 1.5 rupees. He is doing, and here this inside the bag it is going on. Kata 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 like mouse. Like that it is going on. And fellow, Sri Ramakrishna, you get the graphic description. How these Vaishnavas sometimes behave like that. Is that mauna? What is mauna? True mauna? To remember God. To remember holy things. That is mauna. Santushta ena kena chit. Satisfied, whatever he gets. He's not particular about it. Little food and little something, little place to stay, little bit of cloth. This is what Sri Ramakrishna describes. When a sattvika bhakta, what would be the condition of his house? What would be the condition of his mosquito curtain? Nights he doesn't sleep. So daytime he sleeps. That is when other people see it and, oh, this fellow perhaps could not sleep at night. Could not get sleep. But actually he could get sleep. But that is the best time for doing japam and meditation, etc. That is why daytime he does. And Sri Ramakrishna scolded Latu Maharas terribly. My boy, have you come here only to sleep? Whole day he used to make him run up and down. Doesn't even allow him to sleep. Why? Because he can't sleep. And he says, if I cannot sleep, what right this fellow has got to sleep nicely? Who told? Holy Mother told. Holy Mother told.
Oh, to Holy Mother.
He never allowed Holy Mother or this Lakshmi Didi to sleep. But he used to pour water. What a man, you know. What a torture. So Holy Mother remarked, don't listen to him, his eyes cannot shut. So, but will he allow?
No.
Already the birds, they are singing, what right have you got? Get up, like that, you know. He is very anxious for his breakfast and all those things. Doesn't want to get delayed. Thakur never used to take breakfast. He used to take brunch. At about 9, 9:30, he will take brunch. That is both his breakfast. In those days, you know, how many people used to take breakfast? Very few people. Okay. What are we talking about? Santushtaha ena kena chit means whatever simple things satisfy his eating or just keeping alive so that he can use his time for a better way. Aniketaha, this is a special word. It means two things. For monks, Aniketa means monks do not have their own homes. Wherever there is Shivalaya, mosque, whatever it is, they will take shelter. But for householders, how can they be Aniketaha?
Maidservant in a rich man's house.
That means, no. What it means is, no householder devotee should think, this house belongs to me.
Yes.
Just God allows me to stay here. And it is His grace, everything belongs to God. That is called Aniketaha. Niketaha means a place to dwell. Aniketaha means so a monk never has anything. So, but a householder must have a house because he is responsible for his children, etc. But that idea, I should live like a maid servant. I should not think this is my home. That is the idea. Sthiramatihi, a devotee's mind would be absolutely fixed. Like the compass always points to the north. A devotee's mind will always only think about God. Bhakti man me priyona, such a devotee. Which type of devotee? He who develops these characteristics, 35 characteristics. Bhakti manme priyonaraha, he is most dear to me. Then he comes to the last verse, let us chant. Etu dharmyamritam idam yathoktam pariupasate shraddhadhanamat parama bhaktaste deva me priyaha. Bhaktaha, te bhaktaha ativa me priya, extremely dear to me. Such devotees. Which type of devotees? Etu dharmya amrutam idam amrutam. What is idam? Whatever I have given the teaching. Right from the 13th sloka to 19th sloka. Consisting of 35 qualities. And he calls it Amritam. Amritam means because development of these qualities lead one to become immortal. That means he gets self-knowledge, God realization. That's what. So it is called dharmyam. What is the meaning of dharmyam here? It should not connect with dharma. Here it should be connected as dharmyam means truth. This truthful nectar. Because this is scripture. This is coming from the mouth of God. So whoever is very interesting. Pariupasate, upasate. Upasana means what? You know what is upasana? Constantly thinking, meditating upon one aspect of God. That is called upasana. Upa asana. Asana means seat. Upa means near. What is the real meaning of upasana? Who is nearest to you?
God.
Pure consciousness. Chaitanya. That is the nearest to you. Everything else, even bodies, are best to us. So here upasana means constantly think, this is what the Lord said. These are the qualities I have to develop. And then try to sincerely inculcate these qualities within oneself. That is called upasana. Otherwise, simply say, I will sit and read Gita. Bhagavan said this, Bhagavan said this, Bhagavan said this. How many qualities? 35 qualities. What are the qualities? Advaishtra, Sarvabhutana, Maitra, Karnavecha, Nenvam, Nirankara, Samadaka, Sokhrishanmi, Edu Dharmiya, Amrutam, Yadoktam, Parishpasade, Teshamni. Is this Pariupasana? It is not Pariupasana. It is Parismarana. Remembering. Upasana means making it one's own. Shankaracharya gives a beautiful definition, I think, in Brahma Sutras. What is upasana? You know what he says? just as naturally as each one of us, a human being, feels that I am this body. So naturally, a upasaka feels I am this deity. Ramakrishna used to go into that and then say, I am Kali. You know, one day suddenly, he was at Jairambati. He had eaten food. He had gone to bed. And at midnight, suddenly he says, oh, I am very hungry. Give me food. Sri Ramakrishna's stomach was very delicate at that time. So they said, but just now you have eaten and gone to bed. When did I eat? I have come just now from Dakshineshwar. What was he talking about?
Mother Kali.
Was possessed by Mother Kali. Just now I came from Dakshineshwar. Immediately they understood. And then Holy Mother quickly prepares, you know, something like halwa. A huge quantity. And he ate the whole thing. They didn't want to give. Even if he eats in a normal condition this much, his stomach could have problem. But the whole, about 1.5 kg or something he ate. But nothing happened. Then Sharadanji says, if Sri Ramakrishna eats in the bhavavastha, nothing happens. So another time also at Dakshineshwar, what happened? Sri Ramakrishna went to Calcutta. Meanwhile, some women devotees happened to come to Dakshineshwar. And what happened? They obtained very good milk. And they knew that Sri Ramakrishna would enjoy shard, one condensed milk, sweet. And then they prepared it, 1.5 kg. They came to Dakshineshwar with that. But they were disappointed because Sri Ramakrishna was not there. Anyway, they left it with Ramlal Dada. Sri Ramakrishna returned in the evening after food. So after 1 hour or something like that, suddenly he said, I am very hungry, give me something to eat. So Ramlal Dada showed this 1.5 kg, this one. And then he ate up the whole lot. Whole lot. And then Ramlal Dada thought perhaps he would have stomach problem, but nothing happened. These are very common incidents that used to happen in Thakur's life, practically every day. One day, he was remembering, I would like to drink pure milk. But they found out it was all what is called adulterated milk. That is why about Indian milkmen, you know, somebody accused Indian milk persons. They are all rogues. They mix water in milk. One milkman said, you are absolutely wrong. We don't mix water in milk. We mix
milk.
So, Sri Ramakrishna, he felt a longing. Meanwhile, I don't remember, either Yoginma or somebody, Balram Basu's wife, they got very good milk. Immediately they thought, Sri Ramakrishna would like to. So they boiled the milk and then got it and then brought it to Dakshineshwar. And then he was so happy and said, I had a longing to drink pure milk and you brought it. All these miraculous things is. So in Bhavamukha he could eat a lot and digest without any problem. So what are we talking about here? What is the upasana? Drinking means what? Upasana means to become one with the thought that we are cherishing. That is true meditation also. Upasana is another word for meditation, deep meditation. So, anybody who slowly develops these qualities, they ativa me priya. Most extremely dear to me, naturally. You know why? Because he becomes godlike. When he becomes godlike, he is nearest to God. That is what his jnani tu atmaiva me matam. I consider a jnani, true jnani, as my own self. My own self. That is what Hanuman also says. They have atma buddhya tu tvameva aham iti me nischita matihi. So with this, we have completed. So let us chant that. Om Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsa Chanura Martanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagat Gurum.